What's up, everybody? You are tuning in to Black Hollywood Live Conversations. We are talking to the one and only Chloe Mondesir. Stay tuned. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live Conversations.
Oh, Clip, yeah, that's my hood, yeah. Put it in his face, yeah. Get that shit understood, hey. Yeah. This ain't what you want, yeah. Hey. Tell me you get hood, hey. Why? Cause old Clip, nigga, that's my hood, yeah.
Oh, we got real country. We got real country over here. VHL. That's right. No, bring Dallas to North Hollywood. I see it. Oh, man. What's up, everybody? This is our hood over here. You know what I'm saying? Black Hollywood Live Conversations. Your boy Lim Gonzalez holding it down. I'm super excited because today, I know I look like an uncle today. This is not my normal fit, but you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to represent right on this Tuesday evening. But I got special guest Chloe Mondesir in the building.
Hey.
What's up, Chloe?
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Yes.
I'm excited. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
So I'm excited to be here and tell you what I got coming on.
Exactly.
Coming up down the pipeline.
And that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So first of all, shout out you from Dallas, Texas.
From Dallas all day.
Yes. And what with the song that we had come in, this is a place.
Yes.
In Dallas, like is it a region? What is it? Like
it is a hood.
It's a hood.
Dallas. Within Dallas. Texas.
Within Dallas.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, so.
Is that where you're from specifically?
That's where I grew up.
Ah.
Yeah, born and raised in Oak Cliff.
Okay.
And you can take me out, but you can't take Oak Cliff out.
Can't
me.
Take Oak Cliff out the woman. That's what it is. Obviously I was first introduced to you from the show American Grit, and We interviewed you a couple of times when that show was running. That was American Grit season 2, and you were a cadre on that show. How did you feel about doing that show? Like when that happened? And I know obviously we've talked about it when you've been here before, but what was that like?
It was interesting because it was at a time in my life where I was working my regular 9-to-5.
Really?
I didn't have an agent. I was just, you know, a girl with a job,
mm-hmm.
and a dream, you
yeah.
know? And I'd gotten a call randomly from the casting director because I was in the military. I mean, there was no other real criteria. It was just like, were you in the military? Yeah.
And that was it.
And then it was like, come in to this interview and audition. And I guess they liked me, you know? And what I realized was, because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I was afraid because I'm not your typical Marine.
Right.
And I'm thinking they're looking for someone who's hardcore and mm-hmm. mean, or, you know, every other word is a curse word.
Right.
And that's not who I am. But I just decided to go and just be me. And if they like it, they like it. And
right.
I booked it. So it was a roller coaster.
Okay.
That I was not prepared for.
We actually got a picture that we can show of you
there.
So when you were obviously previous Marine, what was your MOS?
Was 2311.
Okay.
Ammunition technician.
Word. Okay.
Yeah.
91 Bravo. You know.
Oh.
I was Army though. I was Army.
Okay.
You know. I know how the Marines feel about everyone else. Yeah, sure. No, I know. It's cool. You don't have to talk about it. You know,
I still love you.
Okay.
It's okay.
Still love me. Okay. Word.
It's okay. We can't all
right,
be
right.
Marines.
Right.
We can't.
Right. Sure.
We need somebody to be an Army.
Right. I'm not even going to say what we used to say about the Marines when I was in the service.
I've probably already heard it.
You probably have. Word. So in the Marines, you were already obviously out at the time you were making the call, so you were retired. Were you already living in LA at that time?
I was.
Okay.
I had been here for a few years.
Okay.
And done, you know, obviously chasing a dream to be an actor.
Right.
Actress here. And done a couple of commercials, mm-hmm. you know, having a little one line on Real Husbands of Hollywood.
Okay.
Ooh,
I was excited.
I thought I was already on my way.
Right. Right.
And so when this came, I was like, holy crap.
Now, being that you were on television, which was it was on the Fox network, so a major network, did you see that after filming that and after that show aired, did you become more recognizable in the business?
Only to supporters of the military.
Oh, really?
Like a bunch of military people were like, oh, you know.
Okay.
But other than that, no. Which I think may work in my advantage because, you know, oftentimes people will typecast you or put you in a bubble. Like, oh, reality competition, that's all
mm-hmm.
she does. And I don't want people to think that because I'm an actress first.
Right.
But this was, I was drawn to American Grit because not only am I able to be on TV like I want to be, but I was able to help people, you know, mm-hmm. people who thought that they couldn't do certain things.
Right.
I had lived through things that I thought there's no way I could get through. So I was able to help people find their inner strength. So mm-hmm. this was like something that I really couldn't pass up because it had two of the most important things that I wanted to do.
Sure. Yeah. Word. Well, I love the show. And I thought you brought difference from the previous season because I covered it here at AfterBuzz both seasons. And the first one was a lot different energy.
Yes. Yes.
Second one was more, they dealt with the inner person. And I felt like the people, the cadres that they got kind of really, you know, really worked on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you especially, you know, the tenderness that you still were, you still had the hardcore, you know, you still had the military. Exactly. But it was a great balance that you had. And there was some emotions there. And it was dope. It was dope. And I thought it was good to see that on television and see that balance. I want to talk about this new movie project that you have jumping up.
Yay.
So, and you got your daughter starring it, who's actually yes. here in the studio with us. So tell me how this came about.
So after American Grit, mm-hmm. I went back to my work, my job.
Okay.
Which so graciously they let me leave to film American Grit and then come back.
Oh, nice.
So, and that's rare. So, uh-huh. I came back and it was like this feeling like, oh my God, like I just came off a show on a major network and now I'm sitting in a cubicle and I'm waiting for a yes. I'm waiting for someone to say, yes, you're good enough to be in our project. And that was a terrible feeling.
Mm.
And so instead of waiting, I decided to write my own short film, which is based on a true story that my grandmother told me probably a couple of years ago. And it just never went away. It was just so cute and funny. And so I was like, I'm going to write that and kind of juice it up a little bit. And instead of waiting for someone to put me in their project, I'm going to put myself in my own project.
Hmm.
And my daughter, like you said, is starring in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to do things that I like.
Right.
I get to put myself on film.
Right.
And I also get to tell my grandmother's story, who is 72. She turned 72 on the 3rd.
Wow.
And the story is also about her mother.
Okay.
My great-grandmother, who is still alive. And so they'll get to see us play them, and it's going to be beautiful. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. Now, what is the premise? Obviously, you know, it's a story your grandmother told you, but is it a story about her life?
Yes, it's a story about her as a child.
Okay.
Who, you know, she grew up in the 40s? 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have a lot of money or anything like that, but her mother had gotten her some jacks. You know, the jacks.
Yes, so the ball and the little yeah. spiky things.
Yes.
Yes.
But there was a neighborhood bully who
okay.
kept, like, taking things from her. And so the short film kind of follows how she deals with the bully.
Hmm.
And her mom trying to give her, you know, the advice. Because, of course, as a parent, you want to step in and be like, hey, don't you take my, you know.
Right.
But she's trying to allow her to do it. You know, to stand up for herself. But then, you know, things get kind of tricky and, you know, you have to see it to see how it unfolds. But it's really, as a parent, it's, it hits home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 'Cause you always want to protect your children. You want them to, you know, do X, Y, Z. Want them to have the courage to stand up for what they think is right. But
right.
sometimes your kid will call you out.
Hmm. Okay.
And that's what my grandmother did. To my great grandmother, she calls her out, for basically not leading by example.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of convicts her and there may or may not be an altercation.
Oh, okay.
So it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute.
How did you come about with your daughter, you know, getting involved? Because had she expressed interest in acting or had you seen something in her that you wanted to? Obviously, she's your daughter and you want to, you know,
yeah.
work with her. But
yeah, yeah.
How did that come about?
So I would never force my kid to do anything she didn't like. I'll just
sure.
throw that out there. But I have a funny story about how Nyla started
yeah.
acting. When I first moved here, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have family or friends or anything.
So, okay.
And my daughter was three.
Three.
And so it was difficult. You know, I'm trying to go. My first audition that I ever got, I was excited, but I was nervous because I have a 3-year-old.
Did you have to take her with you?
Yeah. Oh, the hell, unprofessional, right?
Yeah.
How am I going to look walking in here? Interesting. And I can't leave her in the lobby because, you know, I don't know these people.
Right.
You know? So I'm like giving her a pep talk. Nyla, we're going to go in here and you're going to stand just, it won't be long. You know how the commercial auditions go. You're in the room maybe 30 seconds.
Right.
So I'm like, stand here, won't be long. I promise when we finish, we'll go get something to eat. A little, you know, if you're good, I'll give you ice cream, blah. You know, the whole spiel.
Yeah.
So I get in there and it's for a commercial and the role that I'm auditioning for is for a mother of two. Mm. So I get there, put Nyla in her spot. I go up there and I slate my name and all that and they're just looking. The casting director's like, I'm sorry, no. And I was like, what? They're like, you don't look old enough to be a mother of two.
Really?
And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm a mother. That's my kid right there. I could easily have another one. What do you mean? You know, I'm upset. And they looked over at my daughter and said, oh my gosh, she's adorable. You know what? Can we have her step up and you step back? And we're going to let her audition. And I said, what?
What?
You're going to give her my spot? And so I went to the corner and I stood there all quiet like I told her. Mm-hmm. And she booked a national Super Bowl commercial just for being in the room.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Just right place, right time.
And the whole thing was, it wasn't like the role was for a child. They were looking for the mom. You were looking for the mom.
Yeah.
And they probably were going to interview or audition, excuse me, children.
Yeah.
But they saw her and was like, oh, no, you just go ahead.
You just get just right back there and just have her. Wow. Like, okay.
That's crazy.
And I didn't know it was a Super Bowl commercial. We're watching the Super Bowl and I see my baby's face. I'm like, oh.
That is nuts.
Yeah. So that's what started it for her.
Okay.
And I didn't pursue getting her an agent or anything like that because it was just like, oh, you know, just kind of happened.
Right.
But she's done a few commercials. We did a commercial together for, what was the cleaning thing? Seventh Generation, non-toxic cleaning.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, she's excited to tell you guys that she got to lick cake off of a table.
Oh.
Because we had like a birthday cake scene.
Uh-huh.
And to show that it's non-toxic, the kids were able to eat off the table. This brave one
licked the table.
Yeah.
Nice. That's my kind of girl. That's right.
She's like, yeah, I'm going to improv it.
Right.
It's clean, right, Mom? Yeah.
Boom.
So, yeah. That's dope. She's done commercials. She's done some extra work, you know, just for fun. But, yeah, I knew she had it in her. So that's why I was like, it's a no-brainer. She's going to play my grandmother. And I'm going to play my great-grandmother.
That's really dope. That's really dope. That takes me to the next thing I wanted to talk about. Because so often we, you know, we hear about, especially living in L.A., you see people come from all over the place to try to make it in Hollywood, whether it's an actor or whether it's in music or whatever, you know, as a host, which is what I did. So they come from, you know, not everybody can make it, or sometimes it may just take a long time to get where you're trying to be. All these things happen, right? But you're a single mother, and I don't know of too many single mothers that can come and pull that off. The one story that I do know, which I think is a great story, which is the one Taraji P. Henson was talking about. And she said when she was winning an award and how she came here as a young mother and people were just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and she made it work. And, you know, she's Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We see her everywhere. So can you talk about that, being a single mother and how that's played into your development, into where you're trying to go here in Hollywood?
Okay, there's a lot that I can say about this because, for one, it's a huge struggle because, like, I'd like to think, you know, I have a handful of friends that I can count on to, like, oh, if I need to do something, can you watch my daughter, you know, last minute? And but most of them are in the industry, too. Mm. So oftentimes I want to go to an event and they're like, I'm going. So
right.
You know, so I find myself kind of missing out on a lot of events and networking opportunities and things like that. But I just got to stay focused on what's important, you know, going to the party, going to, you know, these events or like creating my own stuff, you know, getting in classes, making sure that I'm focused, making sure that I'm prepared so that when I do get in the rooms, you know, for these auditions that, you know, I'm shining, you know, my goal is to outwork everybody else.
Right.
You know, I always said when I was working a 9-to-5, I had friends who were like always going to auditions and always, I'm like, oh, you wait till I walk away from this job. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be on your ass. On your ass. I don't care if I got a kid. Right. She's going to be in school all day. Mm-hmm. Guess what I'm going to be doing? Mm. Out there working.
Right.
Out there working. But I will say I am truly blessed because 3 months after I got, so I did have the people who were saying, don't go out there, you know, mm-hmm. not with your baby. She was right. 3. Don't go out there with your baby and you don't have any friends or family. Like, how are you going to make it?
Right.
Leave her. You know, my family's like, just leave her here until you get settled. And then.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You know, everybody's fearful.
Sure.
You know? And so, of course, I didn't listen. I packed up our stuff in trash bags and we got a little crappy studio apartment. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like blood on the elevator.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Somebody tried to break in 3 a.m. Like, it was really.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but it was what I. It's expensive out here.
Yo, yes, it
especially
is.
Especially coming from Texas.
Yes. Whole like, different
way,
animal. Yes.
No parking, mm-hmm. no air in this mug. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so I got here. 3 months later, I got a call from Operation Homefront mm-hmm. saying that I was selected to receive a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Condo.
Really?
And I was like, that sounds good. Like, what, mm-hmm. what's the catch? You know, I didn't know if it was something like, you know, a government assistance side thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to get all the terms. Like, give me all the fine print.
Right.
Like, this
right.
is too good to be true.
Right.
But it was a gift. They, Operation Homefront, works with banks to give foreclosed homes to veterans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and my old boss had told me about it way before I moved. Mm-hmm. And I did it just thinking, okay, let me do it just to, you know, this is the third time she told me. Let me, you know, not right. thinking, oh, of course I'm not going to get a free house. Who gets a free house?
Sure.
But 3 months after getting here, I got it.
Wow.
No mortgage, just like.
Just free and clear.
Free and clear.
Just pay the utilities.
Just pay HOA and utilities wow. and you're good. So that was a huge blessing that made it easy for me mm-hmm. to do what I do because
sure.
it's I can't imagine how much harder it would be if I didn't have that.
Do they still have houses? They still,
Operation Homefront or Homes on the Homefront. So uh-huh. if you're a veteran or if you have veteran friends, mm-hmm. go to Operation Homefront and then there's like a section for Homes on the Homefront. Mm-hmm. Now you have to be patient.
Uh-huh.
Because it like I said, I had forgotten about it.
Right.
But there are different homes in different regions. You know, right. you might find one in San Juan or,
right.
you know. So you just have to be patient and see when one pops up and you might get lucky like I did.
Wow.
Yeah, changed my life.
I bet.
Changed my
Not
life.
Not having to pay rent or yeah. mortgage in
yeah.
L.A.?
Yeah.
That's like, yeah.
Right. That's why I'm like, there's no, like, I have no excuse.
Uh-huh.
There's no doubt in my mind that I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
Like, it's all been laid out for
Absolutely.
Me to succeed.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm. We're
gonna
talk after this anyway. I'm a veteran, and
I'll give you whatever you need.
Would love to not have to pay. Oh my Jesus, Lord, hallelujah! That would be the blessing of the century.
I will
Man.
Give you everything you need.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's great, and I think it's dope that you have that story because I think a lot of people, just in general, you know, we move from, you know, we're transplants, right?
Mm-hmm.
We move from different areas. I'm from Northern California, and I got the same spiel, you know, as far as that a lot of people get, like, why you want to move to LA? Like, you're comfortable here. I had a government job. Mm-hmm. You know, I was good, had a cool little condo. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't fulfilled, mm-hmm. and I felt like this is where I needed to be because this was my passion. And so I made that move, and I think a lot of people are afraid because they're afraid to fail.
Yeah.
And I think you have to come here with the mindset that, like, this is what I feel like I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God has blessed me with, whatever talent it is, and I'm going to make it work
yeah.
in this industry. And I think you have to have that. You have to have the thick skin because you're going to hear no a lot.
A million times.
Right?
Yeah.
A million times. But then you're going to get that yes eventually.
Right.
And you got to prepare, like you said, the classes and doing all that. You know, you learn the craft, but ultimately it's there for you.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to make it work.
Yeah.
Just
make
move.
It work. That's
yeah.
I always tell my friends, like, the race is already run.
Mm-hmm.
It's won. You just got to keep running.
Exactly.
Like, you got to get there.
Exactly.
Like, don't quit. Once you stop, then you know for sure you mm-hmm. won't get what you want. But
right.
if you keep going, you're bound to get what you need.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the other things that you have going on. So obviously we have the short film. When is this going to be released? Okay. Do you have a release date?
I don't have a release date because we're still in post-production.
Okay.
And we need money.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
We have to get coins, yes. Dollars, money. and there's only a few things that we need to do.
Yes.
Coloration and sound, mm-hmm. and things like that. So once that's done, mm-hmm. then we'll...
What is going to be the title of the movie?
Jax.
Jax. After the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jax.
I'm really looking forward to hearing that or seeing that. So what else do you have working on? What other projects are you on?
Well, I'm actually... I don't know if I just got bit by the writing
okay.
bug.
Okay.
But I have started... So I'm going to tell you what really started the writing thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was so random. I have some really good friends who... work in the industry, and they're like on fire. They're always, you know, doing something. So a friend of mine, Anthony Rose, was trying to get a deal with Kevin Hart's network.
Okay.
LOL.
Okay.
And he invited friends over, like, hey, throw out some ideas. I'm going to, you know, send in a pitch deck and try to get the contract.
Right.
Because we can do this, you mm-hmm. know? And we're like, yeah, you know, we could do it. So we're sitting in his living room throwing out ideas, you know, and he's jotting them down, and he sent the email. And he didn't get it. However, the lady who did get the contract reached back.
Okay.
Which is rare.
Okay, right.
And said, hey, you know, I like some of these ideas, you know, get Anthony on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony got on the phone. She says, I like this, this, and this. He's like, well, those are Chloe's ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And he was... a great friend who said,
wow.
Hey, this is in your head. I
right.
can't do it for you. So come to this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the meeting, shared my ideas. They loved it. And they brought me on as a writer.
No way.
Yeah, and creator. Wow, for Kevin Hart's LOL
That's
network.
Dope.
So I wrote sketches for about 2 months.
Really?
And then went back to my cubicle.
Back to the cubicle.
Yeah, back to the cubicle I went. But, you know, there was something about someone else believing in what I believed in, you
right.
know, in myself. You know, because you always think you're good.
Sure.
You know, but when someone else who works in that field
absolutely
validates that, it's like, oh, she done gave me a little push,
mm-hmm.
a little push and shove. And so that helped with me walking away from my job, my mm-hmm. 9-to-5. That helped with me starting to write Jax,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of sparked something in my head. So I want to write, I'm actually writing something with a friend of mine about non-traditional relationships.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just say that.
Keep it there. Okay. Okay.
Child is Hi, daughter.
What's up, Nyla?
Yeah, it's going to be some good juicy stuff. So
uh-huh.
I'm moving from sketches to short films to...
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it'll be a web series or a TV show, but we'll see.
Nice.
Yeah.
What would you say would be your ultimate goal in this industry? What would be...
Ultimate goal. I want to be Hollywood's next Halle Berry.
Okay.
That's my ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can write and produce while being Halle, then I'll take that too.
Mm.
But I love acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just love... There's something about becoming someone else. And people believing that.
Right.
I'm not crazy. No. There's just, I love acting. So that's my ultimate
goal. That's the ultimate goal.
Yes, yes. I want to be seen as this great actress with class and beauty and heart. You know, I just want it all.
Right. The next Halle Berry.
Yeah.
I see it. Well, I mean, beautiful.
Thank
so you.
You
already are there, I'll say. Nyla's like doing the robot over there. Like, yeah, that's right. That's my mom.
She reminds me quite often because she has heard me say the Halle Berry thing a lot.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm not eating right,
uh-huh.
she'll write me a little note like, you're never going to be Halle Berry if you keep eating like that.
No way.
And I'll be like, okay, back away from the chips. She calls me out. It hurts, but it's true.
Really?
I appreciate you. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay. You're the real MVP.
Thank you.
She's like, yeah. Well, I think that's great. I think that's great. And I think having, obviously, in this industry, you got to have a goal. You got to have something to strive for, because otherwise you'll just be existing.
Right.
And just kind of,
and it
you
has
know.
To be big.
Exactly.
Don't pick something that you can achieve next week, because then you'll have mm-hmm. to keep doing it over and over. Like,
right.
you have to really think about, what do you really, really, really want?
Absolutely.
No matter how crazy it is, no matter if, you know, people see that too mm-hmm. or not, you just right. have to really be true to yourself. What do you want? Say it and go for it.
Absolutely. Do you miss the military at all?
You know, no. sometimes I miss the camaraderie, you know.
Sure.
I was 18, 19 when mm-hmm. I went in. So,
right.
yeah, that was good then.
Then.
Yeah. I don't necessarily want that now, but I appreciate everything that I experienced mm-hmm. in the military. I wouldn't change it at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I mean, I was 17 when I signed my contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. Long time ago. But I think it's good for, you know, whatever season it is, and if you're not trying to be a career person. And I think it helped me at that time in my life, being a young man. And just like you said, the camaraderie was huge, because I grew up, I wasn't really a sports dude. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really play on teams. I didn't really get that from being on teams. So joining the military, like, you get that instantaneously.
Yeah, that'll
and
do it's, it.
Right, exactly. And you got your battle buddy and just all of that. And it builds that aspect of team and the aspect of working together
right.
for a common goal. So I really appreciate that aspect. But yeah, it was for that season.
Yeah, and for the season. For the season.
But the benefits, though.
But the benefits.
I'll take the big, hey, that house. Hey, I believe it. I'm called that into the spiritual realm. Yeah, give it to me. Give it to me. Hey, that house. That's what we're going to do.
Oh, yes.
But yeah. So I think that's great. I'm excited about Jax. I can't wait. You know,
I can't wait to share it.
When it comes out, we definitely have to have you back to really talk about that and get the reaction, you know, because
yeah.
I love to see how people, I mean, when you create something and get what people are talking
yeah.
about and how people receive that and all of that. Like, you know, I have a cousin that's in the industry and he just started writing. Mm-hmm. He's been acting for years,
mm-hmm.
but he got the writing bug as well. So now he's writing content and just seeing, and he loves creating, you
yeah.
know, he loves the creation part of it and taking an idea and putting it down and then seeing it
right.
you know, come alive.
That,
right.
I mean, that will just mm-hmm. light a fire.
Absolutely.
I mean, just because I had those ideas in my head before we did the LOL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not thinking this is really going to happen, but mm-hmm. it's in here. And, oh, that's kind of funny. And then to, like, get a check to write it.
Right.
Oh, wow, you believe in me, believe in me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then to see people take their time and energy to play it out mm-hmm. is something, it's addicting.
It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine.
I'm like,
I can imagine.
Let's do the next one.
Right,
like,
right.
And because you learn so much, it's like, oh, you're going to see Jax and it's going to be great,
mm-hmm.
but I already know how I can make the next one
right.
even better.
Even better.
Yeah.
And I think it's just nothing better to be walking in your purpose.
Right.
I think that's the greatest thing to take from that, is just being able to get a check for something that you love to
right.
do and that you feel like you're good at doing.
Right.
You
right.
know, it's just, it's nothing better.
Yeah.
It's
and,
nothing
and
better.
And no matter how big or small the check is, mm-hmm. because, I mean, you know, life as an actor mm-hmm. is not so consistent.
Right.
So.
Right.
I mean, I could have stayed at the county making, you know, much more.
Sure.
Consistently, you
right.
know.
No, I get it.
But this is such a good feeling. I'm
absolutely.
So, I'm so free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so free. Oh, I have an audition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm in heaven.
That's dope. That's yeah. dope. That's Chloe Mundasir. Yes.
Yay.
Yes. And Nyla, the silent partner in the back, making the faces. She's
doing
dabbing
the dab.
Right now. She's dabbing right now. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been our show. We want to thank you so much for joining us for Conversations here on Black Hollywood Live. I've been your host, Lim Gonzalez, and you can find me everywhere at Lim Gonzalez. Also, you can check out my website, stayonthemic.com. And if you're of the little bit of ratchet nature and you watch shows like Love and Hip Hop, you can check me out on the podcast for VH1, Love and Hip Hop the T, anywhere you watch your podcast, or check them out. Chloe, where can the people find you?
The people can find me at Chloe Mundasir on all of those social media things.
Outlets,
that's the word.
Got it. It's all good. I got you covered.
Thank
Ladies
you.
And gentlemen, we will see you until next time. Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.